him. If you ain't seen him in a while, go talk to him. If you see him and don't want to talk to him, talk to him. That was awesome. DC. Y'all boys smoked. Ooh. Y'all got a little smoke. God is good all the time. Yeah, I don't want to. I keep seeing this thing coming up, and it reminds me about this young preacher was preaching, and as he was training, the guy that was training him said, he said, "Well, if I forget what I'm saying," he says, "just keep repeating yourself, and eventually it'll come back to you." So he was preaching on the Lord's coming, and he got up and he said, he just come up and said, "I'm a coming," and forgot the words. The rest of the sermon, so he said, "Hold on, oh, just repeat it." So he said, "I'm a coming," and it still didn't come to him. He said, "Wait a minute, I got to put some force behind it." So he went, "I'm a coming," and he tripped and fell right in the front row on a couple of ladies. But that lady said, "Sisters, I'm sorry." Said, "I didn't mean to do this." They said, No, you told us four times you were coming. We didn't move. You know, God is good. We're going to talk about some good stuff today. How many want to talk about some good stuff? Amen. God's awesome all the time. You know, there was this young man that was riding in the Christmas, a mayor is riding in the Christmas parade with his wife. And as they're riding down the road, he's waving everybody, listening to see a gas station attendant. And looks over and says, "Yeah, there's your old high school flame." Said, "See, if you'd have married him, you'd be a gas station attendant's wife." She said, "No, if I married him, he'd be mayor." Getting it done. That's what we're talking about today, is getting it done. Get your Bibles out to Genesis 24. Stand for the reading of the Word. I'm going to read a little bit, but this will be good stuff. Good stuff. Amen. We've been talking about politics and talking about other things, and so I've been praying about it, and we're just going to have a good time today. A good old time in the Lord. For most of us. Some of us will go, "Ouch," but most of us will go, "Amen." And if you go, "Ouch," don't say it very loud, okay, so everybody will hear you. Genesis chapter 24, verse 1. You got your Bible, say amen. You don't say, "Oh me." All right. Verse 1, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham had said unto his eldest servant of the house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto thy son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land whence thou hast comest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, and took me from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me, and it sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman be not willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear of this oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning the matter. And the servant took 10 camels. Y'all say 10 camels. This is important. 10 camels. Say it again, 10 camels. Look at somebody and say he took 10 camels. Not talking about a half pack of cigarettes either, we're talking about 10 big old camels. All right? How many owns any camels? I got a dog that thinks it's a camel because every time it moves real slow. But it's not a camel. Okay. And departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose, saying, all the goods are in his hand. And this guy, this 10 camels are carrying a lot of stuff. And went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor, and he made this camels to kneel down without the city by a well at a water at the time of evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord, my master Abraham, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Hear that? I will give thy camels, all 10 of them, something to drink also. Let the same be she that has appointed for thy servant Abraham, and thereby shall I know that thou shalt show kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the son of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder, and a damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, Lord, or said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my Lord, and she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also. Y'all got to listen to this. This is awesome. I'll draw water for thy camels also when thou have done drinking. And she hastened, emptied her pitcher in the trough, and ran again to the well to draw water, and drew for all 10 camels. Wow. Until then, and the Bible says in verse 22, and when the camels had done drinking, meaning they were filled to the full. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you for this day, this chance to be in your house, God, to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. I thank you, God, for surely you are an awesome, awesome, awesome God. And we thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, let us come unto you with thanksgiving. We pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Look at somebody and give them a high five and say, God's doing it again. Can you back that up a little bit, dear? That just put, who is this? There you go. All right. Now let me ask y'all a question. I'm going to come out a little bit so I can see this. Now, you're going to think I'm preaching on cartoon characters. I'm not. Now, who, y'all can be loud, okay? Who is this? Just once. Buzz Lightyear. Now, what is Buzz Lightyear's famous saying? Go ahead. All right. Y'all are good. Now, I'm going to put a picture of Jesus up there and let y'all tell me what he said. Okay. That's all right. Look. To infinity and beyond. But Buzz Lightyear is just, honestly, is a cartoon. He's a character. How many know he's a character? Well, all of us are characters, amen, but he's a special character. He says to infinity and beyond, but the whole cartoon, you see him doing this, and he's actually not doing anything. And he wants to fly, and he falls down, amen, because actually, he don't have it. He thinks he does, but he don't. So you know, although he is an awesome cartoon character, in reality, he doesn't have it. And when it comes to what we're talking about, even he has to kneel. I mean, even Buzz Lightyear has to kneel at what we're talking about. So what we're going to talk about today, go ahead and go to the next one. What we're going to talk about today is, look, to infinity and beyond, that's God. Linda said it looked like Goot, so I want y'all to know this. G-O-D with a cross over top of it. It's not Goot. That's not G-O-O-T. It's G-O-D with a cross across it. God to infinity and beyond. Now, go ahead. See, God has power to infinity and beyond. What's infinity and beyond? meaning it has no starting point, it has no ending point, to infinity and beyond. It also means that he's got creative power. God just spoke the words and the worlds were put into motion. Amen? He speaks the word and stars come into orbit. He speaks the word and universes are created. They finally found a planet they said might be our cousin planet. And it's so far away we can't even get to it. Like 1,300 light years away or something like that. It's a long, long ways away. We're not even going to be able to explore it because it's so far away. The nearest thing that even comes close to being Earth is so far away that we would have like 10 or 15 generations moving at the speed of light. We would have 10 or 15 generations produced as we were trying to get to that planet. Amen? So think about the power that God has. Not only has God got power, he's got a plan. And his plan is that man is to rule and reign his creation down here, the earth. He's had dominion over the earth. And when man failed, God didn't say, oops. God already had it planned out that Jesus was going to redeem us. So he sent his son, and he's going to redeem us, and we'll live with him forever. As long as he got power and a plan, he's got a passion. Jesus died so we don't have to live caught up in sin. But as long as there's a passion, there's one more thing, and that's principles. Principles are his word. It's his precepts. It's what he says. It's what he tells us to do, how we are to act and react in this world. And if we follow his principles, we can impact the world we live in, but it's not just for a little bit. There's times we impact just for a little bit, I know, but then there's also times, if you got to think about it, if you really think about it, although you think you're only impacting for a little bit, you can change one person's life by a kind act. You can change one person's direction just by a kind deed or by telling them a special word or something. If you do something according to God's word, it's amazing what will happen. So here we go. They got his power, his plan, his passion, his precepts. And so we're going to start a little series. I don't know how long it's going to last, but it's going to last at least a couple of Sundays. And our program is going to be called To Infinity and Beyond. It's not about Buzz Lightyear, although he's cool. It's not about Buzz Lightyear. It's not about Woody. It's got to be about Jesus and about his precepts and what he wants us to do. God wants us to live an excellent lifestyle. How many knows that? God wants people, when they see us, we don't have to hold a sign over our head and say we're Christians. If you got to hold a sign over your head and say you're a Christian, then you're not doing your job right. Because people ought to be able to look at the way you act. The way you act and what you do. Now, I'm not talking about what you wear. I'm talking about what you, or how you talk and how you handle yourself. You know, that's how they can tell you're a Christian. They can tell by the way you react or the way you come in on a situation. They can tell when they get around you. They can feel the presence of God because God is with you. Amen? And so people need to understand. They need to feel. They need to see that we are Christians. Now, here's the name of it, of today. And then some. And then some. And then some. You say, what in the world has that got to do with anything? Well, hold on. Remember 10 camels? Rebecca comes up and he says, Lord, if you're going to send me a bride for Isaac, please, let her not just give me water, but give these camels some water too. And you say, well, that's not a hard thing to do. Yeah, it was. It was very hard. And so her lifestyle was an and then some lifestyle. Now this story, Abraham, he represents the Father. Isaac represents the Son. The servant represents the Holy Spirit. And Rebecca represents the church. The Father is trying to find a bride for his Son. So he sends the Holy Spirit out, and the Holy Spirit comes to us in our hearts, and he arrests our hearts, and he brings us into the body of Christ. So as the church, we are his bride according to Revelation. Amen? So let's just go ahead. We got that one straight. So watch this. Here's the mission. In chapter 24, the Father sought a bride for his Son, so he sent his servant with these instructions. I don't want you to bring me a Canaanite. I want you to bring somebody of my kindred, and I want you to go get me somebody and bring it back for my Son, and God will lead you, and God will show you. Then I don't have to send my Son to get her. You're going to take care of her, and you're going to bring her to us. And so the servant asked God for help, and here was the signal. God, let me see somebody who is willing to live above average. I can stop right there. God's looking for somebody who is willing to live above average life for Christ. Somebody that's willing to go a little bit farther. Somebody that'll reach beyond their little comfort zone. Or I've even heard people say, well, I don't feel like being bothered by that. And so or they turn their head so they don't have to see what's going on around them so they can actually make a difference in what's going on around them. But he says, I want somebody that's going to be willing to live above average. And when it does, here comes Rebecca, and she goes and she waters down these 10 camels. She says here, verse 19, not only am I going to give water to you, I'm going to draw water for your camels. And look, so it's the three words, and then some. Y'all say, and then some. Y'all say it again, and then some. That's true excellence. You know why? The church is under attack. We all know that. But you know what? We've been talking about politically why the church is under attack. For the last 3-4 weeks, we've been talking about the political attack. Now I'm going to go deeper. 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 The church, not only is it under attack by Washington and under attack by the world. You know, they got this show on TV Land called Impastor, meaning this guy acts like he's a pastor, but he is a drug addict and he's all kinds of bad things. But you know, if they'd have had a Muslim priest or Muslim, can't think what you call it right now, but the head of the Muslim, somebody help me out. Imad. If it had been Imad, you know what? TV Land would have been burnt down. Come on. And it killed all the people in the story. Yeah, if it had been a Muslim, they wouldn't even have to worry about it because it wouldn't have ever got a chance to be broadcast because it would have been TV Land, the whole building would have been burnt down, people would have been killed, there would have been all kinds of things. But because it's a Christian, it's fine. We'll make fun of Christians. Okay? So now, we see all this stuff going on around us. We see all the churches under attack. But the biggest attack, y'all say biggest. How many really want to make a difference? All right, in this last day, the biggest attack the church is under is a four-letter word. Average. I'll let that soak in for a minute. You say, that's not four letters. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But you know, whenever I say four-letter word, you say, uh-oh, that's a bad word coming up. Yeah? The church is under attack by a four-letter word. Look around you. If this weren't true, this church would be so full of people right now you couldn't stand it. They'd be standing around the walls. Every church in this community, every church in this nation would be full, up to the wall, brimming around. But here's what's going on, that four-letter word average. We just want enough to get by. Just let me get enough God to take what it takes to get me to heaven and then leave me alone. Let me do it my way, God. You see, average, there's another word for average. It's called lukewarm. God says in the last days, the last church, he says, you're lukewarm and you're trying to live average. You're trying to get it for you, but you're not worrying about everybody else. You're not trying to live the life that shines for me. And so guess what? I'm going to spew you out of my mouth, Laodicean church. Meaning literally, I'm going to spew you into the tribulation. Because you want to live an average life. So our society expects, here it is. Do you know that 40% of our nation provides for 60% of the people? Over 60% of the nation is getting some form of government help. So 40% are paying for 60%. And the way they win elections is they promise more. Now Hillary is going to take the rich people and she's going to tax them up to 90% to level the playing field. Now can you imagine? Who wants to vote for that? I mean, she's going to say, well, if you're making over a certain amount of money, we're going to tax you at 90%. So then you'll be down with everybody else and you can provide for even more people. So I guarantee you, if we're not careful, after the next election, it'll be 75-25, not 60-40. And that's what happened to Rome, and that's why Rome died. Now, all the major powers in the world did not die from the outside. They died from the inside. And if that's one of them, here's what happened. They had a handful trying to take care of everybody, and what happened is it died because it couldn't provide for itself. It imploded. We're going to implode if we don't do something. So now watch this. Here it is. So what can we do? What can I do? Here it is. Watch. Our society expects to give minimum effort and receive maximum return. Minimum effort, receive maximum return. Crazy. But that's the way this world is. I see it all the time. It drives me crazy. I mean, just to see it, to hear it, to see what's going on around us, to understand what's happening around us, what's going on all around us. People trying to do just enough to get by. And then others going, give me, give me, give me. It's killing us. So now watch. The church, we need to follow Rebecca's example and practice the and then some attitude. Because if we're not careful, we'll even get in church. We'll be in church and all we can say is, give me, give me, give me. And if I'm not getting give me, give me, give me, then I'm not here anymore. I told you it was going to be fun today. That weren't too fun, was it? But that's what's happening. We need to say, God, what can I do to make this house better? What can I do to make your house better? What can I do to make your people better? So watch this. Society calls for average. Average describes today. Show me what I got to do to get by. Religion condones it. They lived, you know, back in that day, in Jesus' day, and especially back in the day with Abraham, you know, a religion condoned it. In Jesus' day, they were masters of following the exact letter of the law. They lived by the measuring rod. And so an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And then Jesus comes along and he says on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, he starts telling you a better way to live. And then he says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you'll not see the kingdom of God. The word righteous, of course, also has got to deal with your attitude and got to deal with your actions. And so in verse 41, it says, if somebody compels you to go a mile, you go 2 miles. Again, that's compel means to put you in service. And what it was the Romans, they were under Roman rule. The Romans could actually, if they saw anybody, a child, an adult that were Jews, if they saw them, they could drop all their gear right there, and that Jew would have to carry it for 1 mile. After 1 mile, they could drop it. We're not having to carry it any further. And Jesus said, I want you to do something different. If they compel you to go a mile, I want you to go ahead and carry it 2 miles. Wow. You see, there's two types of righteousness. The first righteousness is positional righteousness. You did nothing for this. The Bible says in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. And every tongue that rises against you, your judgment, you're going to condemn. Then it says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I imparted righteousness through my death on the cross. So that's we are to work upon the righteousness that God imparts on us. Positional. We're positioned under the cross. But then there's situational righteousness. Situational righteousness in Philippians chapter 2 and 12 says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. See, it requires effort. It requires courage. It requires faith. You got to do something. So I don't have to work for my salvation, but because of my salvation, I am to work. Amen? So now, amen? I'm going to make sure I weren't looking at a picture. Y'all smile, do something, throw something at me if you have to. Do anything so I know you're still there. The volume's turned down. Oh, okay. Okay. So here's the and then some lifestyle. Again, I told you we're going to have fun today, and y'all still looking like, well, when is that going to happen? Okay. The and then some lifestyle. Rebecca means to capture by beauty. Rebecca was a very beautiful woman. Matter of fact, I can think of, if they come in here looking for Rebecca, they would find my wife. Amen. Very beautiful woman. Okay. And then some. That's right. Okay. So they come in here looking for Rebecca. That's what Linda means, Rebecca. I'm embarrassed. I'm just playing with now. I'm playing. I'm getting in trouble. All right. I'm dig now. That's right. You get your points any way you can, fellas. You got to learn that. Okay. So Rebecca means to capture by beauty. Her beauty was so, she was so beautiful, she would just, have you ever seen, you're talking to somebody, or you see a car, or you see an animal, a horse, or even a child, and you look at them and they're just so pretty, you just have to take a second look. Man, she's gorgeous. Man, that horse is awesome. Man, that Dodge is just beautiful. Okay, well, that's how she was, okay? Daniel 6 and 3, which we're going to be talking about on Sunday night some, maybe on Sunday morning, the Bible says that Daniel had an excellent spirit, which meant he had a great attitude, a tremendous attitude. She was beautiful on the inside and out. There's a lot of people that's beautiful on the outside, but they're ugly on the inside. Amen? How many's ever known somebody like that? Beautiful on the outside, ugly on the inside. Quit pointing. All right. How many's ever known somebody that was ugly on the outside, but was beautiful on the inside? Amen. Quit pointing at me, people. Okay. So I told you we have a little fun. I had to throw something in there. Amen. Okay. She, here's her and then some lifestyle. Number one thing about the and then some lifestyle. How many want to live an and then some lifestyle? You want God to be able to see you and say, you know what? I like their spirit. I like their attitude. I like the way they act. I like the way they do. And God will even provide more and more for you to do. Watch this. It goes beyond the normal stopping point. Now, I want you to show you something here. We're going to look quickly. I'm not going to stay long on this, but I want to hit it. It says, behold, and I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. So now, this is the normal stopping point. It's crowded. This place is crowded. And she says, none of them are going to give you water. I'm going to give your 10 camels water. Just crowded. Some of us, you get crowded. You know, there's times, how many of you are going to go check out and you see 25 people in checkout line, you can put your stuff back and walk back out. Okay? Now, can you imagine, some of you see two in line and you want to stop. If you go to McDonald's in Washington, you get one in line, you might as well go ahead and walk out. Amen. Okay, so now, crowded. Number two, she had to go a great distance, for the Bible says, and she hasted and emptied her pitcher in the trough and ran again to the well to draw water and drew for all the camels. So watch, it's crowded. Now, isn't it crowded? They're having to run because there's a distance in the camels and the well, and so now she's having to run through the crowd to get to the well to get back to the camels. And history tells us that this well was on a hill. So can you imagine? You're having to run to get these camels water. You're running to the well. You're running through the crowd. You're running uphill to get them. You're running back down. This is a lot of work. This isn't just like having a fireman carrier just standing right here and pouring the water while they drink it. You're having to run to do this thing. Can you imagine running from here to the fellowship hall uphill with a bunch of people in your way trying to get water to feed or to quench the thirst of these animals? They said, well, they're just camels. Yeah, but let me tell you something about camels. There was 10 camels. We said it. Everybody said it at the beginning, 10 camels, right? 10 camels. Do you know that every camel can hold 20 to 30 gallons of water each? Depends on how many lumps it's got. Okay. Or humps, not lumps. I got lumps. It's got humps. Okay. Yeah, tanks. That's right. Oh, a camel can hold 20 to 30 gallons of water. Wow. Watch this now. The average pitcher these ladies took with them was a 5-gallon pitcher. So now, with a 5-gallon pitcher and her having to stand in line, running back and forth with a 5-gallon, how much is 5 gallons worth of water? What, 40 gallons? I mean, 40 pounds? 40 pounds? Okay, unless you got hard water, then it might be hard. Okay, so you got 5 gallons of water. You got to stand in line once you get there. Then you got to run back and forth. You got to go uphill. Guess how many trips she had to make for 10 camels? 40 to 60 trips. Woo! Yes, that's right. So y'all can do that with me. Go, woo! 40 to 60 trips running uphill with an empty pitcher, running back downhill with 40 gallons on her shoulder, running back and forth, did 40 to 60 trips to water those 10 camels. Talk about an excellent spirit. Talk about an and then some spirit. You ain't got to raise your hand, but how many people would like to go to a perfectly good stranger and say, can I get some water? And you go, oh, you got 10 camels. I'll do this for them too. How many would, don't raise your hand, but how many would love to do that? I mean, that's on the top of your list. I want to make 40 or 60 trips for 40 pounds on my shoulder and take care of these camels. Do you know how long it would take? It would take, I did some measuring, not measuring, but did some thinking. Okay, every now and then I get to do this, I'll do that. Did some thinking. You can have a numb skull and still think, okay? Okay, get ready. It's possible it took her 2 to 3 hours to water those camels. Tough as can be. She's tough. Yeah, that's a tough woman. See, that's right. So look, that's 2 to 3 hours. Can you imagine doing all of this, taking you 2 to 3 hours, and she doesn't even know the man and does not know the man is looking for her and that God is putting her right there. Sometimes when you're sitting there going, I sure wish they'd hurry up. I don't know why they think I need to do this. Why am I doing this? Not even realizing that God's watching and getting ready to promote you. You're standing in the promotion line and don't even know it. You're standing right there and God wants to use you, and all He wants you to do is say, yeah, I'll water the camels. And I know that when you watered the camels, you opened up something that was powerful. You opened up something that was unbelievable because you had that and then some attitude. I'm guilty. There's times where I got that and then some attitude, and then there's sometimes I got that, can you please get out of my face attitude. Oh, I know I'm the only one in here that is not holy. Listen, if you want God to use you, you know what? You can have more degrees than a thermometer. You can have so many degrees that you got to have 5 people walk behind you and hold all of them. You can be so pretty and you can be fried, dyed, and laid aside. You come in church and think everybody's just going to fall out by looking how pretty you are or how handsome you are. You can walk out and do it, but you know what? If you don't have an and then some attitude, guess what? God, Jesus said, I come to serve, not to be served. You know what? When you look up servant in the Bible, you look up servant, you look up deacon, you look up minister, you know what you see? You see things like under-rower. What's an under-rower? It's the people in the bottom of a ship that are down there with the oars, and they're making the ship move, and it takes a lot of stress and a lot of strain. But you know what? That's what God calls a leader in the church. That's what God calls somebody that's ministering in the church. Wow, they're down there in the bottom of the boat. You know, I watched, how many ever seen Ben-Hur? That was tough down there in the bottom of that boat, weren't it? And they actually made it light. It was a lot harder than that. And people would die. And you may have a guy beside you dead, and you're still having to row while he's beside you chained to you dead, and you're still rowing. You may have to row for hours, even days, with a dead man beside you. Amen. But see, again, Jesus said, I didn't come to be served. I come to serve. And so when the servant, for us, the Holy Spirit, saw that she was willing, she had that and then some lifestyle, he said, she's the one. She's the one. You know what? The Holy Spirit's watching us right now. He's moving back and forth. Look, he's not just here in the church. He follows you on your job. He follows you everywhere you go. He's watching. Do you have that and then some attitude on your job? Do you have that and then some attitude with your family? Do you have that and then some attitude with your kids? Do you have that and then some attitude even with your in-laws and your outlaws? I always say, God, help me to have that and then some attitude. And then there's times where I find that and then some attitude shrinking. And when it does, that's when I say, Lord, I see it shrinking. And then I pick it up that much more. And I go that much harder because I said, I'm not going to lose that and then some attitude because that's what God is looking for. Amen? So now think about this. When Jesus carried that cross up that hill, there was an and then some attitude. Matter of fact, that was a powerful and then some attitude. So let me ask you a question. Do you want God to use you? Do you want to be the one? I do. Amen? So let me just give you a little, let me give you a few things and we're going to close. Well, it's only 5 after 12, so we got and then some time left. And y'all looking like you want to be left alone, so here we go. Get ready. Living beyond the and then some lifestyle. How many want to live it? Here, I'm going to give you some pointers here. Number one, you want to live the and then some lifestyle. Don't live by the measuring rod. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. If you got that kind of attitude, you'll never have an and then some attitude. God's looking for somebody that can say, you know, they hurt me. I can still minister. They hurt me. I can still do whatever. So I'm not at the top of the list. That's all right. I'm still going to reach out. Not the eye for an eye. Not the tooth for a tooth. Not the yardstick. I'm trying to please Him. Number two. Here's the hardest one. You can't walk the second mile till you walk the first mile. Y'all say amen, hallelujah, ouch, something. You can't walk the second mile till you walk the first mile. You know, too many people have something, and I had it too, and every now and then I find myself with it again, and I got to fight it. This is not something I'm walking up saying, look at me, I do all this stuff. I fight this stuff. I fight it too. People have something called destination disease. When I get here, I'll have it made. When I make it to this job, I'll have it made. When I get this promotion, then I'll be the man. When I work at this company, then everything's going to be fine. Not realizing that life is not a destination. Life is a journey. And that every day is a challenge. And every day there's tests. And every day God challenges us. And so you can get in this in your mindset, if I get to this or to this, I'll be cool. Everything will be all right. Not necessarily. I've seen preacher friends of mine, you know, they were at certain churches and they said, if I can just get this church, I'll be all right. And they get to that church and they're pulling their hair out, ready to resign. And I said, well, I thought you said if you got there, you'd be happy. He said, I thought I was. But when I got there, I found out that grass was greener, but it was greener. You know where grass is greener at, don't you? Over the septic tank. Okay. Number three, you want to, and then some attitude, deliberately impact somebody every day. That's how you fight it. You deliberately impact somebody every day. There's times when I'm tired. There's times when I even find myself getting kind of grouchy. And what I do is somebody will call me and say, can you do this? You know what I do? I say, I'm going to break this grouchy spirit. I'm going to break this what's in it for me spirit, and I'm going to break it today, and I'm going to break it by deliberately going out of my way to help somebody else. Usually, I might grumble on the way there. On the way back, I'm going, thank you, God. That was awesome. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Number four. That was a good one because this even got music behind that one, a soundtrack. I know it's a new phone. I thought it was my phone. I thought I'd left mine on. I was picking on me, but I'm sorry. Now I was picking on her, so now I'm in trouble. Already? Now I'm playing. She's not like that. Okay. Number four. Decide that you will let this become your lifestyle. I have found myself, especially the older I get, I have found myself, if you do this, watch. If you don't live by the measuring rod, if you walk that first mile, now you're on the second. Number three, if you deliberately try to impact somebody's life every day and you decide that you will let this become a lifestyle, what's going to happen is God's going to start showing you. And you're going to start watching people. And when you see problems come up, you're going to also know this too. You're going to find yourself trying to put out the fire or trying to build whichever one that needs to build up the fire, put it out, whichever one it needs. But you'll find yourself, you'll say, well, how in the world did I become a referee? You know why? Because you live this lifestyle. And because you live this lifestyle, now you're impacting the lives into a deeper than you ever would imagine. Deeper. You see, let's just talk about the blessings, and then we're going to close. It was a blessing first to others. Abraham, Isaac, the servant. It shows God's got a plan. God gives us promises. God has a plan to keep that promise, and God keeps them. So Abraham was blessed. Isaac was blessed. The servant was blessed. Her family was blessed. Man, they gave them all kinds of stuff. Verse 53 talks about the dowry that she got, the dowry, or however you say that. It was awesome. And then her herself, she became the wife of Isaac, and her seed became blessed even to this day. See, into infinity and beyond. Wow. We talk about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, we could talk about Sarah and then talk about Rebecca. Because without Sarah and Rebecca, Abraham and Isaac would just be two old guys living in a tent somewhere. Too many times we can't see to infinity and beyond, because all we're seeing is our problems right straight in front of us. Not realizing that when we become problem solvers and we become answers to other people's problems, then God helps us supernaturally take care of our problems. John Chapman, you've heard me talk about him many times. John Chapman was born before the United States Constitution was ever written. He worked at the William Penn cider mill. His vision was to go west, but every time he went to go west, something happened and he was held up. So while he's working at this cider mill in Pennsylvania, he starts saving seeds, because that's the byproduct of cider. You got all these seeds. And so he starts saving these seeds, because he notices they're all over the place. He starts saving them. He puts them in bags. And he saves them. The day came when he could go west. And when he went west, he took all these seeds and he put them in several wagons. And every time he stopped, he would take some seeds out. And he wouldn't just plant one or two. He planted hundreds of seeds in open areas. And then he would just keep on going. And then he'd keep on going, and he'd plant more, and he'd keep on going, plant more, and he'd keep on going. Every time he'd stop, he'd plant seeds, hundreds of them, and keep on going. Within a matter of years, apple orchards sprang up in barren places. And these apple orchards, whenever other people tried to come west, when they were thirsty, when they were hungry, they couldn't necessarily kill any animals or they couldn't find anything else to eat, they'd pull up into this humongous apple orchard and say, wow. And they would eat apples to their heart's content. And John Chapman just kept on going, planting apple orchards everywhere he went. He never got a chance to taste any of those apples. But guess what? You can go to Pennsylvania and start heading west today, and you can go in apple orchards where we in Chapman planted apples. Born before the U.S. Constitution was even written. Of course, we don't know him as we in Chapman. We know him as Johnny Appleseed. Wow. You see, he made an impact to infinity and beyond. Wow. Isn't that awesome? I can imagine when you go to heaven, you can look, you just start smelling. As you're walking down the streets, when you smell apples, turn left, there you see his mansion right over there. God wants us to impact this world in such a way that they say, wait a minute. All this junk they're telling us on television, all this junk they're telling us in the Congress and all this stuff. You know what? I hear that, but I see these Christians acting different. You know, I think I'd rather do what they're doing because I see what they're doing. They're acting a whole different way. And you never know. You never know. You know, I went to get a cheese biscuit the other day. And I looked down and there was about four left and these things looked like they had been cooked over an open fire. That was probably a bonfire. I looked at them. And as I was looking at them, this couple came up. And I actually thought they were going to push me into the counter. And I thought to myself, what are they doing? I know they're not trying to get them burnt biscuits. And so I'm trying to talk to the lady. And I said, ma'am, you got any more biscuits coming out? She says, oh, about 10 minutes to be some more. I said, praise God. And I turn around and run into these people. And I said, well, they got some more coming out. I'm going to say, thank you. Can you please move out my way so I can, you know. And they said, watch this. I didn't know them. I didn't know them. They said, hey, Brother David, how you doing? And I said, watch this. Well, I'm doing fine. Yeah, I'm doing fine. Just got through reading the book of John. We'll go back and read Revelation when I leave here. And then they said, we talked to a couple of your cousins in Bath last week. They're going to get on the ferry and meet us over here. And we're all going to go to your church one Sunday. I went, oh, that's awesome. And I walked over to those cheese biscuits and I went, I'm so glad I didn't say, could y'all please quit running into me? You're knocking me into the wall here. Well, it was, they were trying to get up close to me so they could tap me on the shoulder. I thought they were trying to get a biscuit. So you never can tell. Yeah, our dogs love it. Used to get a cheese biscuit. They can smell them as I'm coming down the path. Yeah, when I get in the house, I got to fight them off. My dogs just turn into ninjas when you get cheese around them. God wants us to have an then some attitude, which turns into an then some attitude when it's acted out becomes an then some lifestyle. And the Holy Spirit's watching. You say, well, how can I be used of God? He's watching. He's looking down going, well, if I give him gifts, he's not even going to use them. Or if I give him gifts, they're going to use them for themselves. But I give this person, they got to then some attitude. I give them gifts, they're going to use it to bless somebody else. So I'm going to keep on giving. And you wonder, how can that person keeps getting, God just showers them with a personality and showers them with gifts and showers them with ability to do this and that, and you're not getting it. You know, well, sometimes it's not your time yet. Let me say that and throw that in there. But then there's times where it is your time, but he's looking at you, and instead of doing this, you're doing this. This is not a then some attitude. This is, I want all I can get. This is an then some attitude. Let's stand. Fellas, come play something. We sit back and think about Johnny Appleseed. We got cartoons of Johnny Appleseed. We see a man with a pot on his head, and you know, we want to make jokes about him and think about he had to be some old crazy coot riding around dropping apple seeds. And instead, he wound up feeding a lot of hungry settlers. He has no idea how many people were saved because of those orchards that he planted. I'd love, if we ever go up to Pennsylvania in that area and go by, I want to go to a real orchard that was planted by Johnny Appleseed. I'd love to get a couple of apples from it and then take and put the seeds and put them in my office, put them up into some kind of frame or something to remind me the impact I can have and the impact you can have on people. I'm going to ask you real quick, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, that's the first part of impact. That's the first part of that first mile. Can't go to second mile until you go to first mile. So if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, part of that first mile is you got to know Him. You got to accept Him as Jesus. You got to accept Him as Savior. The Bible says, you say, well, I believe. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible says the devils believe, but they're not going to be prepared to go to heaven. He says there's a difference in just believing in God and then believing what He said. He said you must be born again. Right now, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today's your day. Maybe you're here and know that, but you're thinking. You've heard what I said. You've heard all this stuff. The Holy Spirit's moving in your mind and your heart. And you're thinking, wow, have I gone that first mile? Have I really gone that first mile? Well, you know what? All you got to do is talk to Him. Get Him to show you. He'll show you. And if you're here right now and you've gone that first mile, or you're trying to go through that first mile, and you want to go that second mile, and you're needing strength for that journey, come on up here. Come on. Or you just want to have that lifestyle. You want to have the lifestyle that pleases God. Guess what? You can have it. All that will, come on up and pray. For whatever reason. Maybe you just want to talk to God. I don't know what it is, but you just want to talk to Him. Come on up and talk to Him. Let God be the Lord of your life. Let God do what He said He would do. God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. I want to go beyond that first mile. I want to go to that second mile. I want to have a then some attitude and lifestyle. I want to help. I want to help my family, my friends, my church. I want to help. I want to be there. I want to be somebody that God can look down and say, I can entrust Him because He's got that then some attitude. God, I need you. I need you. I need you. It's not about me. It's about you, God. And it's about hundreds of people that we can impact. That we can impact. Lord, in the name of Jesus, there's hundreds that we can impact. Lord, in the name of Jesus, help us, God. Help us, Father. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Father. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I love you. I praise your name. God, let me be a Johnny Appleseed. Let me have an and then some attitude. Let me plant orchards all over. Maybe not apples, but whatever that you can use to help others. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Every time you go in that nursing home to minister to people, you're planting apple seeds. Every time you go in that prison, you're planting apple seeds. Every time you go in that hospital, you're planting apple seeds. Every time you reach out to people and bless them, you're planting apple seeds. You never know who you're around, what they're going to do, what they're going to say. God, help me to plant apple seeds. Help me, God. Help me, God. Help me, Lord. Let me have an and then some attitude. I desire it, Lord. I desire it. Thank you, Father. Thank you.